Blog Talk Radio.
This morning. Amen. All these speakers. Hallelujah. We thank God for what our outreach ministry is today. I look on it fondly as I remember the beginnings of the ministry under the leadership of Deacon Lewis, and how he gave himself so to the effort, and bringing alongside of him people who would want to help and assist in that effort as well, joining himself with various groups and organizations to further the efforts of outreach, and have taken us to boundaries in which we have not been before. And yet I still believe the best is yet to come in what the Lord is going to do in and through outreach ministry. We don't want to take it lightly. While that is, we believe in outreach, Deacon Lewis is passionate about outreach. I believe if you cut him, he'll bleed outreach. Amen. Because he is so engaged and so invested in the effort. And I thank God for people like that who will give themselves in such an unselfish way to take us into places we've not been before. And God knows I've never been to a jail. Amen. For just cause. Amen. Never been to a jail for just cause. But hanging around Deacon Lewis, he enabled us to go in and minister to those imprisoned. Amen. A captive audience. And so we thank God for that as well. So I just want you to pray as we bring forth to you our speaker for this morning. I'm getting some time off. God knows I need it. Amen. With all this other stuff we're trying to accomplish. But we thank God that he has raised up Deacon Lewis at this time. Now, we know Deacon Lewis has gone to school and he has gotten, amen, a certificate from the school he has attended, and recognizing him through that particular effort as a minister. However, we, the Shady Grove Church, have not moved to that level yet because we have not been able to get with him and do some things that are required of us. But he's still one of us. And so he's not coming to preach. He's coming to speak. He's not coming to hoop. Although if he chooses to, that's up to him. Amen. But he is coming to share with us on this outreach minister day. Who better to speak to us with respect to outreach than our own outreach ministry leader, the person, Deacon Joel Lewis. Would you stand to your feet as receive Deacon Joel Lewis as he shall come and share with us what the Lord has given to him for this house.
Amen, amen. Give him praise to our Heavenly Father, Lord and Savior, Pastor Morgan. God bless you. God bless you for that introduction. I was looking around to see who he was talking about. Amen, because, you know, as we come up on this time of season in the life of the ministry, and as we think about outreach, and we think about the goodness of God in each and every one of our lives, it gives us a reason to be joyful in our heart. It gives us a reason to be excited, to know that it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? And I want you to think about the words and the sayings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we're going to bring that to include in our message today. And our message today talks about a command to help. A command to help. And if I could use a subtopic, it said, are you like a good neighbor? Are you like a good neighbor? But before we go any further, we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to have prayer. Prayer is always right in any occasion. So you stand on your feet, and we're going to continue to pray that God continue to bless himself. God continue to show himself mighty and to show himself strong, saints. Amen. 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 Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for this time and this hour. Dear Lord, we're not just saying these things, dear Lord, but we thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, for the songs that was rendered, because you spoke to us through the music. We thank you for the prayer that was prayed, dear Lord, because you spoke to the issues of life, dear Lord, for your word is life. Dear Lord, I thank you, dear Lord. Dear Lord, as I look back, dear Lord, upon this time of my life, dear Lord, how someone helped me, dear Lord. How someone nourished me along the way, dear Lord. How someone used your word to be an encouragement in my life. Is there anything too hard for God? God, my God, my God. Let me hear your voice through the chatter. Let me hear your voice through all the chaos, dear Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, I want to be a servant. I want to be used by you, God. I want to hear that command, dear Lord. A command to help. Dear Lord, thank you. Dear Lord, we pray for all those souls that are here today. We pray that they be impacted and empowered by the word. We pray that there be an uplifting, there be a stirring in their soul. That they say, Lord, 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 what must I do? Dear Lord, then they come to the measure of success. They can't do anything apart from God. If God be for you, who could be against you? We pray these in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated now. I'm not going to be before you long because I know how ministry is, because the word of God is alive and active and it's working. It's wonder working power. As you sit there now, you're contemplating the word of God. Because why did I say that? Because you're sitting right here in the sanctuary. Some of you may be out there somewhere, but yet you're in the presence of God. And guess what? God taking note of that. God taking note of that. But I would like to add a scripture to what we're going to talk about today. It's a part of our message today, which is a command to help. And it's the latter part of Luke 10, verse 37. And it says, and he said that he that showed mercy to him, then said Jesus unto him, go and do likewise. Amen. Amen. And I wanted to just back up a few chapters here and just talk about this here command to help. You know, and before I go any further, I'd just like to just say thank you to the outreach ministry team. Thank you, Shady Grove, for coming down and doing what you do. And outreach ministry, you look good in your shirts. Amen. Amen. I see some of them have stepped out, but you still look good in your shirts. Amen. And yesterday at Dallas Life, you seen something that you had never seen before, how the center had changed. I go down there two times a month, and I see the changes that are taking place, but I don't say anything about those because I want the church, I want the body to have that expectation that God is doing something. You know, each Sunday morning when you get up, you ought to have an expectation that God is doing something. Yes, the songs may have been sung before, but have you heard it in a different light? Yes, the prayer may have been rendered before, but have you heard it differently? I want you to have that expectation that surpasses understanding. Don't just come out here just going through the motion, but experience the presence of God. And that's what outreach is all about, experiencing the presence of God. And I have came to the conclusion as I'm studying the word of God, that the word of God is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. I do jail ministry. I do street ministry. And occasionally I see brothers and sisters that then got out of jail. They out for a couple of months. Because I go down there every week and I do Bible study, I see them again. 90 days later, 180 days later, and they know the word. They are walking a pistol in jail. And I said, brother, what happened? Sister, what happened? And they said, I don't know, I got out there. And I didn't think about what God was saying to me. I didn't hear his voice. I didn't hear the command that he was calling me. My brothers, my sisters, you may hear God's voice, but do you know that there's power in the word? Do you know that these are more than just words? I'm going to share some things with you, and it's going to fall in line with what we're going to talk about today. Right. Amen. As I study the word of God, I have came to the conclusion that the word of God and the sayings of his son, Jesus Christ, are more than just words. I have came to the conclusion that Jesus not only did come to earth to seek and save them that are lost and to reconcile them back to Christ, but he came to open up the eyes of them that are blind physically and spiritually. Amen. And as Jesus doing his ministry, I like to lay these scriptures down alongside of you. What we're talking about today is Isaiah 35:5, and it said that the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf should be unstopped. Do you hear what God is saying about you? Do you hear what the scriptures say? Isaiah make it so plain and so clear. Jeremiah said that God knows the plans he has for you. Do you know that that's true? Do you know that God said, I will never put no more on you than you can bear? Do you know that's true? Do you know he said, I will stick to you closer than a brother? Do you know that's power in the word of God? Ephesians 1:18 said, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling. Oh man, that's powerful. A command to help. that your eyes may be open. And we're going to talk about that with the Good Samaritan. Because a lot of us, and that's the reason I didn't say anything about the Lifeline there. Because I wanted your eyes to be open and you to have an understanding that what you're doing down there on a monthly basis or whenever the call for resources, that it falls on good ground, that your eyes was open. Did you see how the facility was set up yesterday? All the new things. Do you see that God's hand is at work in that ministry? Do you know that you're putting into good ground in that ministry? And guess what? Anything that you put your heart to do, if it be within the will of God, He'll bless it more than you can ever imagine. We have been very blessed here at Shady Grove to have a powerful ministry. We do street ministry. We do jail ministry for the men and women. We do juvenile ministry. And God showed us favor on each one of those ministries there. I've been doing jail ministry for quite a while. And the jail don't let you come out. But Dallas County have found so much faith in Shady Grove Baptist Church under the leadership of Pastor Morgan that they allow the young men to come out on the given Sundays to worship with us. You have seen them out here. And they're still able to come out, but we don't have the transportation to go get them. A command to help. They heard it. They felt it. They received it. And because of what? Your love. That they were able to do those things. In Shady Grove, you're doing a great thing. But yet, there's still much, much work to be done. Amen. And as I study the Word of God, I'm drawn to scriptures like this. Matthew 9 and 28. Where Jesus was beseeched by two blind men. And they said, "Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us." And it caught Jesus' attention. And Jesus said, "What would you have me to do?" And they said, they want their sight back. He said, "Do you believe that I'm able to do these things? Do you believe that God's word is powerful? Do you believe that God is able to bring back things that have been lost in your life? That God is a restorer?" And he brought it back. And John 3:16, the very familiar portion of all of us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." God so loved the world. And we look around and we see how messed up the world is, how society is messed up, but God still loves us. And if God loves us like that, how can we not love our brother or our sister? Amen. And John 5 and 8 said, "And Jesus spoke to a man that was paralyzed, that was laying on his bed of affliction for so many years. He was caught in a sin condition. Sometimes we have been bound so long that we can't realize, we forget how long we've been tied up, tangled up, and wrapped up in sin. But Jesus, through the word of God, can speak to those issues. And he said, 'Get up, take up your bed and walk. Get up out of that situation of drug addiction, homelessness, weight, a crazy lifestyle. Get up. Get up. The word of God is powerful.'" And Jesus spoke to another blind man. We're talking about open eyes now. Blind man, John 9 and 6. And he spoke to this blind man and he anointed him and told him to go. He gave him a command to go. Have you heard the voice of God calling you in the midst of everything going on? Are you willing to follow his command? You know, it's at the word command to go. You got to know who's giving that command. You got to know if they have power and authority. And Jesus have all power in his hand. He have power and authority to bring about those things. Amen. And John 4 and 50, I like this one here. And it said that Jesus was approached by a noble man, a man of high stature in society. And he came to Jesus and he perceived Jesus. He said, "Jesus, Jesus, my daughter is sick. My daughter is greatly ill." And Jesus just spoke a word that the child shall live. All right. You know, God can speak issues into your life that you count with dead, school situation, relations, health issues. God can just speak to those things. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saves someone like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, y'all, but now I see. And he spoke, and he said that this man believed in the words that Jesus spoke, and that same hour his daughter or his child fever had broke, and the man and his family believed. What a mighty God we serve. Luke the 10th chapter, it states that Jesus called 70 disciples to go out and do work of the ministry. This wasn't his first calling. He called 70 before. Ain't you glad that God don't ever give up on us, and God is still calling us? You may have missed that first calling. God may have called you for something, but you may have missed it. But guess what? God is still calling. He's still able to do what he said he could do 10 years ago, 15 years ago, or whatever it may be. You may have missed that opportunity, but God is still calling. If you hear his voice today, harden not your heart. Amen. And they said it, but he gave them this here, and he told them, he said, truly, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. As we went down to the Life Foundation yesterday, you've seen a lot of people, young and old, broken, battered, bruised. It looked like that we just couldn't do it. It looked like it wouldn't, you know, that we just wouldn't be able to take care of their needs. But God is gracious and God is able. You know, as we go down there each and every year, we have a program called Feeding the Multitude. You know, that came about because we know that we're a small church. Our resources are not what other churches are, but we still have a desire to do that. And we've been doing it about 7 years now. And you know, God has blessed us each and every year with more than enough. Don't tell me that ain't the favor of God. That ain't the favor of God. And if he did it before, he could do it again. Amen. And Jesus told him, said, pray that the God of harvest will send laborers to the vineyard. My sisters, my brothers, God is calling you to a better lifestyle. God is calling you to a better way. I come to the conclusion that the words of Jesus and the words of God, they are more than just words. They are life. They are liberty. They will set you free. In Luke 10 and 29 through 37, Jesus has an opportunity to speak with a lawyer, someone that knew the law. And the two questions that were proposed to Jesus were, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And who is my neighbor? And who is my neighbor? Shady Grove, I want you to look to the left, and I want you to look to the right. Do you see your neighbor? Do you see the one that God have put you close to? The God have put you in arm length, in eyesight with? Perhaps that's your neighbor. And when you go to the stores and do your daily routine and activity, you're meeting your neighbor at that time. Be kind, be gentle, be courteous, be loving. Draw them to Christ Jesus. Amen. And then our scripture talks about what Jesus had told us, man. We're going to go ahead and we're going to share this here with you. And it's out of the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, the 29th verse. And it says, but the man wanted to justify himself. That's after Jesus had spoken. Let me back up here a few minutes. The man asked Jesus, what can I do to earn eternal life? He said, what can I do? He didn't say, what do we need to do? He's trying to make it personal. You know, that's being selfish. What can I do? We can't do anything apart from God. And Jesus said, what do the law say? And he said, to love God with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the Ten Commandments. The first four dealing with God, and the next ones are dealing with man, relationship with God. Jesus said, well done. Do this and live. Love and you'll live. Be kind and you'll live. Give and you'll live. Treat people right and you'll live. That's the basis of our foundation. That's the basis of our relationship. Love ye one another. Amen. And then the lawyer, he wanted to say, wait a minute, I heard all this, but who? You know, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told him this here parable. He told him something he's familiar with. Ain't you glad you got a God that deal with issues you familiar with? I'm dealing with finances. Got God on the count of a thousand hills. I'm dealing with health issues. He created everything. He spit on the ground and made a small CVS and anointed the man's eyes. Don't tell me there's anything too hard for God. He deal with issues that you can deal with because he makes it personal. He just don't come out of nowhere. This God here, he was virgin born, lived a sinless life. He walked, he ate, he slept, just like you and I. But yet, he was God. And his word reigns forevermore. And his word reigns forevermore. And the lawyer wanted to justify himself, So he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, saying, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And when he was attacked by thieves, he was stripped. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him, and they went away, leaving him half dead. A priest came, happened to come by down the same road, seeing the man, but he passed over on the other side. And so likewise, a Levite came, and he seeing the man, he also went over to the other side. Right. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, he came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Amen. And when he went over to him, he bounded his wounds. He poured oil and wine on him. And then he put the man on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And then the next day, he took out 2 demerits and gave it to the innkeeper and said, "Look after him," he said. "And when I return, I will reimburse you for all the extra expenses that you may incur." Amen. Then Jesus said, "Which one of these 3 do you think was the neighbor to the man who had fallen onto hard times of being robbed?" Amen. And the lawyer, the one experienced in the law, he replied, "The one that showed mercy on him." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." My sister, my brother, we want to take this up off the pages of the scripture here, and we want to be able to use it and walk with it and hold on to it for days and weeks to come. As we study the word of God, you have to know that as God is using ordinary people to do extraordinary things, amen? As we think about how Jesus set this here proverb up in this scenario, he talked about the lawyer here, and the lawyer was accustomed to the law. He knew the Ten Commandments. He knew the custom and the routine and the ritual. And Jerusalem was considered to be the town of the city of God, the city of peace. And Jericho was 18 miles away from Jerusalem, down in the bottom. They said it was Jerusalem sit on a hill, and Jericho was 3,800 miles below Jerusalem, but 18 miles away. Amen. And Jericho was at this time it had priests and Levites there. They had a school, an education school, a ministry there. And so that gives that priest and that Levite a reason to be on that road there. And then we had this Levite, which was a temple worker. And then we had this Samaritan, which is a person that's non-Jewish or mixed race. Amen. But I wanted to just share with you how Jesus used this here proverb to open the eyes up of this lawyer. As we stated with you, Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of that your eyes may be enlightened to the glory of God. Amen. And as he shared this here with the lawyer, he had a sense that, hey, I'm going somewhere with this. And he talking about that Jerusalem was the city of God. You know, all good Jews went to Jerusalem each time and pray and gave sacrifice and did the thing that was accustomed. So the lawyer probably was feeling good about himself. And then in Jericho, he said, "I'm familiar with that place now. I know about Jericho." But as as the traveler went along the road, he was besieged by robbers. You know, they said that area was wooded and hilly, and the trails were treacherous, and robbers besieged and hid and wait for travelers to come by, hoping to catch you by yourself. Can you learn? That's what the enemy come to do. He come to separate us from the flock. He come to catch us in our lowest state, and he come to jump on us and beat us and strip us of our dignity, strip us of pride, strip us of our resources. But glory be to God. Amen. And they said it that this priest came by. This priest knew the law. He knew what the commandments said in the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Exodus. He knew how the commandments said to have mercy and pity and help on our neighbor. Do you know what the word of God says concerning things in your life? Do you know what the word of God is able to work out in your life? Amen. This more than just words, saints. And as the Levite was a temple worker, he may even saw the priest walking on the other side, and he may have just followed suit on that. And I just like to bring you to your attention. We shouldn't be so caught up pursuing the things of God. We're not concerned about the people of God. Not that we ain't looking for God, but the people of God. Remember, God said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." I just like to mention to you, our presentation has to line up with our application. I got the form of godliness, but I deny the power thereof. Saints, God is calling for real people to real time, for real right now moments, for people that are committed and dedicated, steadfast and unmovable on His word and His word alone. I want you to think about that. I want you to rehearse that in your mind. And as the priest and the Levite saw that they had no need of helping this man, I might become ceremonially unclean. It's not my calling. Let somebody else do it. My sisters, my brother, we've been challenged every day. Let somebody else do it. It's not my turn. Do you know what this might cost me? If I help them, they might want me to help some more. And the priest went over on the other side. And the Levite did likewise. But then there came a Samaritan. One that was despised and hated, a reject. One that had no value, no worth in society, in the Jewish eyesight. The one that couldn't even get into the presence of God. They had to stay in the outer courts. But yet he looked and had compassion and pity. Maybe because it was him at one time. Do you know that there's nothing uncommon to man? The same thing that you had your breakthrough on, somebody else is going through is right now. Finances, health, relationships. And this Samaritan looked at this man, and he had patience and pity on him, and he went over and he looked. Not only did he look, but he helped. He engaged. He went over. The man was attacked by robbers. He was beaten. He was stripped and left for dead. You know, as we do street ministry outreach ministry in jail, I notice that men and women have been beaten by society. They've been stripped of their dignity. They've been stripped of their self-worth. They've been left on the side of the road for dead. But the word said that you that are restored, you ought to strengthen your brother. That's a call. That's a command to help. That's a command to help. You know, sometimes you may ask yourself, what can I do? What can I do to help change a life? You know, you have to search your heart and ask God, how would you like me to engage in this situation? How would you like me to handle this, Lord? I have a pregnant teen that I see every day, and she looks like she's lost. Can I speak words to her? Can I encourage her? Do I know someone? You know, we do Facebook and all the other media. Won't you get on Facebook and say, hey, we need some help. I need to try to put together something. There's a young man that's on the verge of going to jail. You see him. You talk to him occasionally. Have you ever talked to him about God? Have you ever told him that God have great things in store for him? Have you ever told him that God could use him? That God have need of him. That God have need of him. You have to search your heart to say, why can I handle these here situations? And as the Samaritan was bandaging the man up, poured on the oil and the wine and put him on his own feet. I like to think of that Samaritan as being our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He came from glory to earth to see about you and I. We were broken. We were bruised. We were left for dead. And he took us just the way we are. He took off our old rags and our old garment, and he wrapped us. He wrapped us in a new garment. He poured the wine and the oil on us. The coming together, the restoring. And then he put us on his own beast, and he bore our sins. He bore our sins, and he carried us until we could make it for ourselves. This case, the Samaritan carried him to the inn, and he took care of him for the night. And as he got ready to go, he said, here, take this, and if it need anything else, I'll pay it. He's coming back. Our Lord and Savior is coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. Are you ready? Are you ready when he comes back? Are you going to count faithful doing what he asked you to do? And that Samaritan, and that Samaritan did what the people should have been doing. But he found compassion and pity on this man. And I like to address the situation of the inn and the innkeeper as we're talking about this. Are you willing to take the beat and battered and bruised person to your inn? We say the inn is the church. The inn is our Bible studies. The inn is our meetings. Are you willing to take those that have been beat by life to the house of God? Are you waiting on someone else to do it? Or you going across the road and say someone else is going to come by? The innkeeper, are you willing to take the battered, the bruised, the rejected to our pastors, to our deacons, to our muzzles, to get to let them take care of them, let them minister to them? My sisters, my brother, search your heart. Search your heart today. Do you hear God calling you? Do you hear God calling you out of a bad situation? Do you hear God saying he had work for you to do? Shady Grove, we've been blessed here in the ministry. We've been blessed to do things that blows my mind. I think about how God have allowed us to be in ministry relationships. Shady Grove, not Joel Lewis, not Deacon Lewis, not Minister Lewis, but Shady Grove. We talk to peoples in Africa, Kenya, South Africa. Pastor Francis, he go to a minister to a huts that have dirt floors. He said, I walk to each hut as often as I possibly can, and somebody come out and give us a ride. And he said that the people that we minister to, they live in rural areas. They just have walls up, they have dirt floors, they have no drinking water, but they craving the word of God. I said, Pastor, what would you want us to do here in Dallas, Texas at Shady Grove? He said, pray for me. So we pray for him once a week. We pray for him as often as possible. We pray that God continue to bless them, continue to strengthen them, continue to be an encourager. But they need more. They need books. They need supplies. Shady Grove, take it upon yourself to say, what must I do for a foreign ministry, for a foreign mission? We talk to people in the Philippines because of the Blog Talk Radio. This young lady, two young ladies in the Philippines, they got a mission to go out and rescue abandoned and abused teenagers and young adults. And these young adults, they run away from home and they've been abused because the Philippines is so economically depressed that the kids and the parents, sometimes the parents just give the kids away. Foreign people come over there and just buy kids. That's like you buy sodas and clothes. And the kids run away and they find themselves because Philippines is an island, so they don't bury anyone in the ground. They put them in mausoleums and in crypts. And they say that the kids go out there and they take out the dead bones or whatever they do. Maybe cremate, probably cremate. They do the cremate in the bay and they take it out and they live there. It broke my heart knowing that someone living a life like that, they wake up with dead things. They go to bed with dead things. They future look dead. But yes, she said, we have a passion for that. And we're not alone. There's other people that support what we do. Do you know, Shady Grove, you're not alone in what you do? The prophet felt like he was alone. He went up on the hill. He said, God, you got me doing this all by myself. God said, wait a minute. I got 300 more of y'all that's doing the same thing. Shady Grove, you're not alone. You're not alone. Is there anything too hard for God? Well, people that we talk to in California that's dealing with gangs, they go out on the street and they minister to gang members. They say, man, our lives and our ministry team lives are in danger, but we know that God have a greater call. And we have young men and ladies that turn their life around, and now they're going out and doing the same thing we're doing. Shady Grove, people know what you're doing here in Dallas, Texas. They know about you. In Kenya, South Africa, they know about your love in the Philippines. They know about your desire, your heart in California. They know about you in Florida at a drug recovery program now. They know about your love. Keep doing what you do. Keep loving. Keep caring. Keep sharing. Keep being an instrument being used by God. And as you being used by God, you may follow some difficult time, you may fall in some challenging time, but guess what? God will never leave you nor forsake you. We have lost jobs. We have had health issues. We have been knocked down but not destroyed. Right. Been pressed. All those things going to happen. But glory be to God. Glory be to God. And as we get ready to wind down this message here, I want you to be mindful. I want you to be mindful that God is ever present. I want you to be mindful of the things that you've done here over the years. And I want to thank everyone while I have a chance. I want to thank First Lady Sister Morgan. I always say Sister Morgan. First Lady Sister Yolanda Morgan for her love and her commitment, her faithfulness. And she made some masks a few months ago for the residents that's part of the street ministry, that's in the street ministry. And I had the opportunity to talk to them. I didn't tell them I knew about the mask, but I said, hey, that's a nice mask. The brother said, yeah, man, I love this mask. Look at it. Look at it. I said, yeah. He said, man, I take this mask, I can lay on it, I put me a mat in this here. And I said, man, that's all right. I said, you know that mat represents God. When you're laying down on it, you can feel the presence of God surrounding you. You can feel the love of God in your life. He said, yeah, man. He said, yeah, yeah, I appreciate it. And a Sister Table, along with all the other members, thank you, First Lady Morgan, because she didn't do this alone. All of us donated to hygiene kits and the little snacks and all the little things that go down there, because this is a collected effort. And Sister Table donated some shoes along with everyone when we did the shoe drive. We all did, but I like to talk to Sister Table about it, because the ladies took the shoes and the lady was so proud. It was like they like holding a newborn baby. The lady was holding the shoes and was rocking them. They said, I hadn't had a pair of new shoes in so long. And here we are, we take shoes for granted. And God laid on my heart before I shared this with the church, and he said that I looked around, they had no shoes. I had shoes that I didn't use. With these shoes I give to you to walk the path God chose for you. With these shoes, you should do the things that God chose for you. You know, with those shoes and that show of love that come through this ministry here, people are being restored. People are being encouraged. You know, you hear us talk about from time to time, help change a life. Those are more than just words. I've seen lives change. I've seen people come from darkness to light. We have people in the jail ministry that was in jail for 8 years. And they got out and they started serving God. And they serving God 8 years later. Right. So don't tell me that the word don't change lives. Yeah, yeah. I seen women on the street that they came to the street ministry and they were restored. They got their houses. They got a home and they get their kids. They still come to the street ministry and they volunteer. They come out and they drop off little packages and food or whatever. They say, man, I thank God because someone did this for me when I couldn't do it for myself and when I wouldn't do it for myself. Someone prayed for me. They had me on their mind. On bended knees, they prayed for me. Do you know prayer changes things? These are more than just words. I want to thank you for the Bibles that we get. We do a Bible drive a couple of times a year, and the Bibles are going out to the men and women on the street, in the jail, the juvenile. I had the opportunity to meet a young man. I was at the store, and a young man was a bagger. And he said, I know you. And I said, well, I come to this store sometimes. He said, no, I know you. When they tell me I know you, I know what they're talking about. You know how people say they know you. I said, yeah, because I don't try to put people's business in the street. I said, yeah. I said, well, you might. He said, yeah. And he was, with the boldness, he reached in his back pocket and pulled out a little pocket Bible. And he said, look, I remember you gave this to me. And I gave it to him, and I told him, when I gave it to him, and I said, hey, use this here and let you know that God with you. You learn scripture, and you know that God loves you. And he pulled it out. He said, man, I know God loves me. I got this pocket Bible. But most I got God in my heart. And I said, my Lord, these are more than just words, saints. So when you're sharing the gospel with someone, take it to heart. Know that what you're doing is ordained by God. We're a small church, but we're mighty in the Lord. We're a small congregation, but we're on fire for God. Yesterday the ministry came down, and what a great time we had in the Lord. The food was great. Sister Lewis made some knockout spaghettis. The salad was on time. Everything was on time. And the facilities, Dallas Life gave us operation of the kitchen. They just moved aside and let us come in there. They gave me use of their office. I did my broadcast from there, free on the inside. You know, that freedom comes from Christ Jesus. And freedom comes from knowing and having a relationship from God. And freedom comes to allow you to do the things that God set for you to do. Because man tell you can't do it. Man tell you there ain't no way. But God. But God say, I give you that freedom. And as Jesus has shared with this here lawyer, and he said, now go and do likewise. I think that lawyer's eyes was immediately open. I shared with you Ephesians 1:18. I will share it again. Just so you'll know, maybe your eyes will be open this time. Maybe you can understand what God is saying. And it said, in the eyes of your understanding being in light, that you may know what is your hope of his calling. Amen. That your eyes may be open. Do you see God hearing that work in your life? Do you hear him calling you? Do you hear him? Do you hear him? Do you hear him? My sisters, my brothers, as we're winding down this portion of service, we ask you to take this to heart. You heard some mighty songs today. You heard prayer that shook heaven and earth. You done heard God calling you to what we have shared with you today. Now it's up to you to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, I need to make this thing personal. If some young lady need me, if some guy need me, someone is broken, someone is bruised, someone has been stripped. Lord, let me be a restorer. Because you did it for me, I know you can do it for someone else. Lord, give me the heart and the compassion and the time to do some things. I meet people that say they don't have enough time. I say, it's okay. I don't have time either. But God is the manager of time. He manages our time. He manages our resources. So when the enemy come up on you, and he's challenging your relationship with God, tell him it's more than just words. That you will never leave me nor forsake me. It's more than just words to say that you know the plans you have for me. Challenge him with the word. And watch him back off. And glory be to God. Say, stand on your feet here. Stand on your feet. We're getting ready to get out of here. But we pray that you're being blessed by what we share. We pray that you have a sense that God is doing something mighty and God is doing something strong in your life. We want to thank the Outreach Ministry team. We want to thank Minister Mary McCray for her support throughout the year. We want to thank everybody's support. Sister Constance, Brother Ricky, he always go down to the JL Ministry with us. Sister LaShondra Lewis, she's part of the Juvenile Ministry. And we have need for volunteers, juvenile, jail, street, prison. Come on now. Come on out. If God could use Brother Ricky and use me and use Sister Lewis, surely he could use you too. Amen. I want you to take a moment and think about what we shared with you. Just think about it. Just think about what you could do. If you hear his voice today, harden not your heart. Gracious Heavenly Father, we stand before you, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord, for this opportunity. Dear Lord, the message was so plain and so simple, dear Lord, that you said that this is more than just words. How you call people from one stage of life to another. And if you did it back then, you could do it now. God, open my eyes that I can see your hand at work. Open my ears, Lord, that I can hear you. Lord, make me the person you want me to be. Not in my own might, not in my own power, but in your Holy Spirit, dear Lord. There's someone out there, Lord, that I can interact with. There's someone out there that I can change a life through Jesus. There's someone, Lord, lead me, guide me. Let me bring them to my end, to my church. Let me bring them to my Bible study, my women's meeting, my men's meeting, dear Lord. Let me bring them in the presence of you. You could do more with them than I can, dear Lord. Believe me, give me the boldness to tell them about somebody that knows about everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, dear Lord. These men and women have been challenged. Let them step up for the challenge. Let ministry be birthed that they have no idea. At this time next year, let the house be overflowing with ministry. Let hearts and souls be touched with ministry. Dear Lord, at this time, use them. Use them. Use them. And we pray these in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.